It's a jurisdictional issue. Under the common law, if they understand that there's an ultimate judge that will judge their heart, and what happens in secret if they tell a lie, then it's outside. The judge doesn't have to worry about it anymore. It's given under oath. And he, in good faith, can just look at the testimony and make a determination on the testimony, not on facial expressions. Okay? You can be deceived, I would think, by facial expressions. So is the law in Michigan, is the court in Michigan basically renegade? I think so. But let's see what they say in Florida. See, Florida has got a statutory civil rule here. In Florida, it says the court has stated in Clinton versus State, neither belief in a supreme being nor in divine punishment is requisite to the competency of a witness in Florida. The common law does not apply in that common law rule does not apply in that state. But can I tell you what they're doing is saying, courts, this might free up a judge to make him think he's got to determine what somebody's facial expression. Actually, all this does is it just takes the court off the hook completely. Obviously, they can give an oath, or maybe the potential is they could sign under the penalty of perjury is the civil solution to this. They understand that that's enough of a penalty. Their perjury penalty would be under reasonable, rational, natural law. Not revealed law, but rational, natural law, a reasonable thing would conclude that somebody, if the penalty for perjury is strong enough, it wouldn't be worth somebody doing as a witness. So that's under the natural law perspective. That's how Florida operates. So is it the judge's responsibility to make a determination on the basis of facial expressions? No. It will be a miscarriage of justice. The more discretion you apply, give to a man who has fallen and depraved, the more likely you're not going to have justice. So I think Michigan's messed up. Now, here's another thing, though. Oh, here's another thing. I'll just read some of this as old common law stuff. See, this is very educational. You wouldn't hear this anywhere else. Let's see. In England, now the thing is, we're looking at old English common law. Let's see how this thing is progressed. An infidel pagan idolater may be a witness and his deposition sworn according to the custom and manner of the country where he lives. That means a Muslim could have a scarf on the woman's face, right? And may be read in evidence so that at this day it seems to be settled that infidelity of any kind doth not go to the competency of a witness in the debate on this point. And they cited a biblical perspective where Jacob and Laban, when they were having this little discussion and agreement, Jacob swore on the God of Abraham. Laban swore by the God of Nahor. Of course, if you continue to watch that story, you realize that Jacob told the truth and Laban lied, okay? Okay? So Laban was the deceiver, but he was swearing on something else. An oath is an appeal to God by the witness for the truth of what he declares, an imprecation of divine vengeance upon him if his testimony shall be false. The witness must believe in the existence of God. He must believe in rewards and punishments after death, and a belief that men will be punished in this life for their sins, but immediately after... Oh. This next court in Connecticut said that if a guy under the common law didn't believe in an internal rewards and retribution, that he could not be a competent witness. So, but watch this. It says that a punishment, an oath is an appeal to God to witness what we say, and we thus invoke punishment if what we say be false. Mohammedans may be sworn on the Quran, Jews on the Pentateuch, and Gentiles and others according to the ceremonies of their religion, whatever may be the form. So these are common law principles. In the common law, the judge can just trust that Almighty God will keep them accountable for their truth or lie, and you just take what's put before you as mere evidence, whether it's written or spoken. As long as there's an opportunity for cross-examination and the words can be examined, it's none of your business to determine what a facial expression is communicating, unless they are communicating to you in facial sign language that you mutually agree upon before you start the testimony. So that's my perspective. Are we thinking about passions of what we believe, or is there a reference? See, I say that there is a revealed reference that we can go by, and even our rational, natural mind can analyze these things and figure out which is right, but folks, we can't shake out our brain at the door and get sucked up in this progressive move to evolving into the global utopia we're losing our minds. You know that America is subject to this pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America. America's going insane. So that's why I try to get back to these things to try to give us some rational thought. Now, here's the other thing is, what if the person's religion, they believe at judgment after this life, but the religion expressly requires them to lie for the sake of their advantage if they are Islamic? What if their religion expressly requires them or encourages them, exhorts them to say things that are not true knowingly, if it will benefit them who are ultimately for the good of controlling and conquering the world for Islam? What if that is a teaching of the religion? Well, as I've been reviewing this, that is a possibility. And we've actually got things that I've read out of the Quran that indicate there are times when it's okay to say a falsehood. You need to talk falsehoods to your wife. If she makes a lousy dinner, it's okay to say, oh, it was gorgeous, I loved it. Or if she's, you know, somebody's kind of funny looking, oh, you're beautiful in your own way. Well, that's the truth, right, if you stretch it the right way. Or another instance of not saying the truth would be to settle disputes. Oh, he really, when he said you're a knucklehead, that's a Native American term that means you're wonderful or something like that, you know, settle disputes. Then the final thing is, even to the point of with a vow denying Islam to deceive the infidels who are your enemy, you can say whatever you want to do with ultimately the purpose of advancing Islam. So if that is your religious conviction, in fact, if there's a possibility, you can say, I swear to you, I love my daughter. She can practice her new religion. I will not abide by the teaching of Islam that says I must kill her for changing her religion. That is not a lie. So that's kind of scary. And I'm seeing some weird stuff that are probably freaking people out. You say, how's he saying this on the radio? We got to get back to the truth. And I say, we'll be better off if we take things on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong, and use a reference to figure out what those things are. This is scary stuff, man. Truth in broadcasting is a scary, dangerous, difficult thing. Are we willing to go there to preserve our lives, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness and other properties? I wonder. Hey, check us out at faithfreedoms.org. We're going to be back in a minute. You can give us a call on this scary stuff at 888-850-1872. We shall return.